أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف خلقه وخاتم أنبيائه وسيد رسله، حبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا، أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المطهرين المكرمين، سيما سيدنا ومولانا وصاحب أمرنا وولي زماننا الحجة ابن الحسن المهدي، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. السلام عليك سيدي ومولاي يا صاحب الزمان. هذا يوم الجمعة، وهو يومك المتوقع فيه ظهورك، والفرج للمؤمنين على يديك، وقتل الكافرين بسيفك، وأنا يا مولاي فيه ضيفك وجارك، وأنت يا مولاي كريم من أولاد الكرام، ومأمور بالضيافة والإجارة، فأضفني وأجرني. صلوات الله وسلامه عليك وعلى أهل بيتك الطيبين الطاهرين. قال الله العظيم في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. For the purification of the souls and the enlightenment of the hearts and for the hastening of the reappearance of the awaited Savior, ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, enlighten your souls and the atmosphere with the recitation of salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Respected scholars, elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Happiness, success, two words that are intertwined in the hearts and in the makeup of human beings, objects of the work and the dedication of humankind throughout history. You look around us today and people desire and yearn happiness. They want to be of the successful ones. They will do whatever it takes to reach the level of tranquility and joy for themselves and for their family members. The element of seeking happiness and becoming successful is a universal goal shared by all human beings, irrespective of religious denomination, irrespective of background or sect or belief. It is a goal for human beings to attain at any place, at any time. To the extent that the United Nations in 2013 published a report. The report is the World Happiness Report. It sought to determine the countries whereby people are more happy than the other. It measured things which it thought are the indicators of happiness, like what? The GDP, the life expectancy, freedom to express, freedom from corruption. And it came up with a list of over 150 countries. It said the number one country in the world where people are happy more than any other country is what? Denmark. It said the United Kingdom is number what? 22. And it said 156, the last in the league table of happy countries, is the poor country in Africa known as Togo. Many will book tickets, no doubt, for that country soon. But the idea that emerges is what? That there is a measure that people have presented in order to understand what makes and drives people towards what? Towards happiness. As believers, as individuals who have a constitution of life that is absolute truth, does not accept falsehood, it is the right path, it is the direction of our lives. The Holy Quran, لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. It cannot accept falsehood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I give you the prescription for happiness. I will tell you what you need to do to attain that. In 11 places, my dear brothers and sisters, in the Holy Quran, the Almighty Jalla wa Ala uses the term tuflihun, comes from falah, in Arabic, translated as success, translated as happiness, jubilation, delight. Allah says in 11 places, no exception, refer to the 11 verses. All of them, they end up by saying, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you will be happy in this world and akhirah. Question, what is the prescription and the recipe for happiness in the Holy Quran, which is absolute truth, and Allah is the creator, and He knows us better than anyone, and He's closer to us than our own hearts. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, happiness comes with association with Him. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. These 11 verses, all of them, categorically say, if you want to be happy in this world and akhirah, then you have to associate yourself with the absolute perfect being, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Re-establish your connection, your relationship with Him, Jalla wa Ala, and you'll see wonders. And one ayah specifically that is related to the subject of this evening's discussion, and the presence and the existence and the connection with the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth, Al-Imam Al-Hujjat Al-Muntadhar Al-Mahdi Muhammad ibn al-Hassan salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
It's found in Surah Ali Umran, verse number 200. This is a fascinating verse, brothers and sisters. And every verse is fascinating. Yet this is directly related to the subject matter. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا. Ulama say three things. Three things we need to take with us. Sabr, musabara, and murabata. Three elements. And Allah says, واتقوا الله. Finally, encapsulate these three elements with the knowledge of the presence of God, God consciousness. لعلكم تفلحون. You will attain success and happiness. What are these three? First, patience. Without going into the subject matter, over 70 verses in the Holy Quran discuss sabr. No doubt, any individual today in the history of mankind who's successful must have been patient and exercised steadfastness and patience throughout their lives at extensive levels. The Holy Prophet, Al-Rasul Al-A'zam Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in a narration says, As-sabru nasful iman. Patience is half of belief. Was-sabru ra'sul iman. And patience is the head of belief. Waman la sabra lah, la deena lah. Whomsoever has no patience, forget the religion. Absolute necessity. It is a prerequisite. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Innama yuwaffa as-sabiruna ajrahum. On the day of judgment, the patient ones will attain the levels of paradise without accountability, without measure, without hisab, without kitab, straight to Jannah. Patience is not easy, yet it is a requirement for success. The Quran then goes on to say, وَصَابِرُوا. What does that mean? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا. Sabiru means collectively enjoying patience. Subhanallah. Allah says, you know, I don't want you to think about yourself. I want you to think about the community. I want you to ponder upon the importance of society. Sabiru means spread patience, help each other in two ways. When our brothers and sisters are facing difficulties, come to their assistance by providing them with that which enables them to exercise patience. Their need, for instance, they have a request from you, that's when you practice musabara. Yes, coming to their help. And secondly, when we all go through hardship, it's so wonderful to sit together and to share this difficulty, but more importantly, to give energy and strength to each other by encouraging patience. How many times we've recited Surah Al-Asr in Salah and outside? How many times we've understood the last verse? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّابِ. Allah says, everyone is at loss except those who enjoin the truth and come together in patience. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And finally, وَرَابِطُوا. What is Rabitu means? Rabitu comes from the Arabic word Rabt. Rabt means to bring two things together and to tie them. And they used to refer to this notion of Al-Murabata or Al-Rabt when it came to the cavalry and the horses. At that time, they used to use them as powerful means for engaging in battle. So what they would do is they'd bring them out from the stables or wherever they kept them, and they would tie them in a place ready for war, ready for the battle. It's a sign that they are anticipating a conflict or an engagement in the battlefield. Quran says, not only should you be patient, not only should you enjoying patience with each other, but you should be of the murabitin wa rabitu. What does this mean? Many ways we can understand it. The first is by coming together and establishing a sense of togetherness, cohesiveness, number one. Number two, by being persistent about the path and the objective that you have set to establish. And number three, by connecting. Because rabt means what? You put two things together, you connect them. And this is where the hadith of our fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn al-Baqir, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
This is found in Kitab al-Ghaiba of al-Nu'mani. It's found in Tafsir al-Burhan. It's found in Bihar al-Anwar. And this is in relation to this ayah. He was asked, the grandson of the Holy Prophet, he said, Ibn Rasulullah, what is this ayah about? He said, he comes to forward and explains the verse in the Quran, in Surah Ali Umran, verse 200. He says, Isbiru ala ada'il fara'idh. Be patient when it comes to the practice of wajibat. Yes? Wasabiru ala adhiyati a'da'ikum. And be patient. Enjoining patience when it comes to the hardship you will attain from your enemies. وَرَابِطُوا إِمَامَكُمُ الْمُنْتَظَرُ. And connect with the awaited imam. Allahu Akbar. Look at our imams. They say we need to establish this connection. You look at Dua al-Nudbah. أَيْنَ بَابُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي مِنْهُ يُؤْتَى. Yes, where is the door of Allah through which we enter? أين السبب المنقطع بين الأرض والسماء? Where is the one that keeps this connection between the heavens and the earth? There is a need for us to connect with the Imam of our time. As the Quran tells us, وَرَابِطُوا, in order to establish success, in order to be happy. Now here, some people say, in order for me to connect, do I need to see the Imam? Definitely some people can see the Imam. Because seeing the Imam has five levels. Understand these five levels. Because people ask the question, can I see the Imam? There are five ways in which you can see the Imam. Number one, in the dream. But he is not in his normal way. You see a Sayyid or you see a great servant of God. Sometimes you see the Imam in your dream and it is the Imam, but you do not recognize him. Sometimes you see the Imam in the dream and you recognize the Imam. Sometimes you see the Imam in real life, but you do not recognize him. And sometimes you get the tawfiq and the blessing to meet the master of our time, Baqiyatullahi fil ard, and recognize him. And this is possible, but it needs yaqeen. It needs conviction. You go to Bahrain today, the suffering, oppressed people of Bahrain, and you ask them, what is the story of a man by the name of Muhammad ibn Isa? Some of you have heard of his story. He has a famous mosque, the mosque of Abu Rumana, the man of the pomegranate. Very briefly, there was a Nasibi ruler in Bahrain who hated the school, the followers of Ahlul Bayt. He had a wazir, a minister, who came to him and said, you know what, we have to get rid of these Shia, these Rafidis. So I'm going to provide you with evidence that their deen is batil. He said, what is the evidence? He showed him a pomegranate. He opened up the pomegranate and on it, it has the names of the four caliphs in order. He said, surely that's what God the Almighty wants. Yes, he wants the first and the second and the third and Ali ibn Abi Talib. Therefore, this eliminates and annihilates the madhab and the teachings of the Shia. Now, this ruler calls the heads, the scholars of the Shia in Bahrain. And he says, look, I have evidence that proves your teachings are batil. You have 3 days. You either give me proof or you do what? One of several things. You either pay jizya, which means you're a kafir, or you leave, or we kill you. One of these three things. All of you, the Shia in Bahrain, you have these 3 days. Now the ulama sit together, they say, okay, the only way in which we can do this is by connecting with the Imam, is by asking the Imam. Because why? Because they had belief that he is here and he will help those who call him. And one of them by the name of Muhammad ibn Isa, or some narration, Sahib al-Bihar says, Ahmed ibn Muhammad ibn Isa, anyway, he goes to the desert, he worships, he prays, he beseeches. A man comes to him and says, what's wrong with you? He says, I don't need you. I'm looking for my Imam. He says, what's wrong? Tell me. He says, I don't want to tell you. My Imam knows. He says, is it because you feel that you as the Shia are going to be kicked out of this country? I'm here to help you. He recognizes that that's the Imam. He says to him, how are you going to help me? Please, I will listen to you. He says, tomorrow you go to this king or this ruler and you say, I have the proof. The proof is in the minister's house. You all go to the minister's house. You enter together. There's a room on the right hand side. You enter with this minister together. Don't allow him to go before you. You go inside the room. You'll find some powder. And you'll find a what? Some kind of a plate in which he had placed the names of the first four caliphs after the Prophet and had planted it so that the pomegranate comes up with this. You will see this. And what else? Take the pomegranate with the names and just press it and it will turn into powder. And indeed, before the king, this happened. Exactly how the Imam told him. The king said to him, who are you? Where did you get this knowledge from? He said, this knowledge was given to me by our master, the representative of God on this earth, the one who will fill the earth with justice and equity as it has been filled with oppression and injustice. Qa'imu Ali Muhammad. And so what happened? The ruler became Shi'i and he allowed the Shia to live. The Imam can be seen. Question. In order for us to connect the Imam with the Imam in all ways, in all the different means, we have to follow the verse in the Quran. The verse says, first of all, sabiru. Imam al-Baqir says, be patient when it comes to your wajibat. Question. Salatul Fajr. I'm sorry, I'm going to pick on some very, very delicate points here. Yes? Salatul Fajr. Hijab. social networking. These issues, wajibat, where are we? The Imam alayhi salam, would his heart bleed when he sees his community who call his name, who shed tears on the 10th of Muharram, remembering Aba Abdullah, and on their Facebook accounts, they like the Quran and Nahjul Balagha, and next to it is Justin Bieber. Or One Direction. Yes? Let's be absolutely honest. Is this what the Imam wants? As-sabru ala ada'il fara'idh. What is wajib? Today we are suffering with a disease, brothers and sisters. You know what that disease is? That is taking religion lightly and wanting a convenience religion. Something which fits into my schedule. Something which is like a microwave. You know, I put the food in quick and out. I want it to be part of what I believe religion to be. And mashallah, now we have a rise of a new batch of scholars. They are called the Ayatollahs and the Shuyukh of Facebook and Google. Everything on the Facebook and on the Google and the Twitter. This is what is Islam is saying. This is what Ali ibn Abi Talib is saying. MashaAllah, they are now rising more and more as time progresses. Dangerous. Very delicate that we have to face this. Number one. Number two, Imam alayhi salam says what? He said, وَصَابِرُوا عَلَىٰ أَذِيَّةِ أَعْدَائِكُمْ. Brothers and sisters, arguably today, the Shia of Ali Muhammad are subjected to oppression and tyranny, which we have not seen in recent times. Saudi, Bahrain, Iraq, Syria, Pakistan, Malaysia, Indonesia. You look around, there is widespread Shia phobia for no reason other than the fact that we profess our love for Ali ibn Abi Talib to be the follower after Rasulullah. Nothing else. We don't kill anyone. We don't blow anyone up. We haven't taken anyone's rights. We haven't invaded any country. Wilaya. That's it. And today, ISIS comes out and says, number one enemy are the Shia. Al Jazeera does a survey a few days ago. Do you support ISIS? 86%, we support ISIS. We have a problem. The number of our enemies are rising. Allahumma inna nashku ilayka kathrata aduwina. Yes? And that is what is required for the third level. What is required for the third level is murabata. I just want to end with this. What does it mean to be in the state of connection with the Imam? As the Quran says, وَرَابِطُوا. Brothers and sisters, how many of us, perhaps all of us here, arguably, have been at Heathrow or Gatwick or Stansted or Luton, whatever, and waited for some loved one who has been away for a long time, and our hearts are pumping every time someone comes out, ah, it's not them. Someone comes out, oh, it's not them. And we're waiting, we're calling. When are they going to come out? We know they will come out. They took the flight. It's a matter of time. How many of us, our hearts pulsate in remembrance of the 12th Imam? How many of us are in that state of anticipation and readiness so that we connect with him, knowing that he will definitely reappear? Here's what we need to do. There are a number of things, very, very brief points that are part of murabata, this Quranic concept. Number one, no doubt, to connect with the Imam, we must connect above all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam would be pleased with us when our spirituality rises, when we understand our duties and responsibilities, when we perform our wajibat and avoid the muharramat. That is without doubt necessary. Number two, there is another disease that has spread and is spreading. That disease, my dear brothers and sisters, was present at the time of Imam al-Husayn al-Shaheed. What is that? Dha'ful irada. When our determination, our willingness, our willpower is weak. Let me give you an example. Ubaydullah ibn al-Hurr al-Ju'fi. Aba Abdullah al-Husayn goes to him on the way to Karbala and says, Ubaydullah, there's a chance for you to attain salvation. You fought against my father in Safin. Come, I give you Jannah. Ubaydullah says, no, I have a business. Not ready. Who else? You have a man by the name of Harthama ibn Abi Muslim. Understand this story. Harthama says, I was with Ali ibn Abi Talib. After Safin, we came to Karbala. Ali ibn Abi Talib takes the soil, smells the soil of Karbala, and says, oh, soil of Karbala, from you shall rise, shall be buried inside you a group of people, and they will rise on the day of judgment. They will go to Jannah bighayri hisab. He said, I heard this from Ali. Imam al-Hussein sends him a message, says, come fight with me. He says, no, I have my children. Maybe Ibn Ziyad will hurt my children. Dha'ful irada. Look at Ahl al-Kufa, what they did with Muslim ibn Aqil. You know what? Laziness. I don't care. It's not my business. Why should I bother? Why should I be active? Why should I be the change that I would like to see in the world? That is what we are suffering. Number one. Number two, we are allowing ourselves to fragment by causing disunity and by picking on very trivial issues and forgetting the big issues. Let me give you an example. One of the scholars says, one day I was praying salah. When I finished my salah, someone came to me and said, Maulana. And when someone says that, God help us. They came and said, Maulana, your salah is batil. Okay, batil. Come, let's sit down. Why is my salah batil? He said, because when you did the sajda, your nose didn't touch the ground, so your salah is batil. This sheikh was very clever. He looked at him and said, can I ask you a question? He said, yes. He said, where was your nose during this process? Do you know what that means? That means if you were praying behind me, you wouldn't know where my nose is. You were sitting there watching and wanting to find faults to bring down. This is our problem today. When I don't like someone, let me bring him down. Jealousy, envy, hypocrisy. Yes? That we need to eradicate to connect with the Imam. There's a problem of ego, egocentric tendencies. Loving our own selves, our own communities only, and saying, you know, I don't want to be with the others, or, you know, only this group or this particular people from this country are going to Jannah, and so on. Driving our own agenda and placing the curtain behind, in front of us, egocentric tendencies are all obstacles to connecting with the Imam. And finally, I would like to narrate to you a beautiful hadith that I came across from Rawdatul Kafi. This is in relation to a question that we have to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, when we say, Allahumma ajjil li waliyika al-faraj. Are we truthful to these words? Let me tell you why. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far ibn al-Kadhim salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. He finds a man by the name of Ibn Tayfur al-Mutabtab or al-Mutabbab. He says to him, he finds this Ibn Tayfur with a donkey. He says to him, did you buy a donkey? He said to him, yeah. He said, how much did you buy this donkey for? He said, 13 dinar. He said, that's a waste. Why? He said, you should have bought a barthoon. What's a barthoon? It's a Turkish horse. Same price. This man says, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, a barthoon needs a lot of food, a lot of provision. I'm not bothered. I want a donkey. You know? Imam alayhi salam said, the one who will feed your donkey will also feed your horse. But then he said, if you have the horse, you will be in a better position in awaiting the qa'im. In other words, have the horse, don't have the donkey. Have the means in preparation, be truthful. How ready are we in terms of ourselves, in terms of institutions, in terms of getting the message across? Because one important way of connecting with Imam Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman is to take the message and the flag of his grandfather, Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, and to establish it and to spread it around the world. Do you know why, brothers and sisters? The greatest superpower today is Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. His name shakes the very foundation of tyrants and oppressors and gives hope. Tell me, 15 to 20 million people walk by themselves. No one forces them. And yet there's so many dangers confronting them. You look at this last week, when this bombing took place in Dammam in Masjid al-Husayn on the day of wilada of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. And the mother, wallah, it brought tears to my eyes. See the clip on the YouTube. Do you know the mother what she said? The mother had two sons, Muhammad and Jalil. They were outside the mosque and they were blown into pieces because they saw this wretched, shaitanic individual come towards the mosque wanting to blow himself. But look at them too. They rushed to sacrifice their lives to protect the lives of the musalleen. And do you know what the mother said? She said one of them, Muhammad, she used to say to him, her son, she used to say to him, be careful, look after yourselves. He used to say to her, mother, I have Hussein, don't worry. That's what he used to say to her, you know? And then she said, you know, these two of my sons, Muhammad and Jalil, they went. And Jalil used to always cry when he remembers what happened to the body of Aba Abdullah. Today I saw the body of Jalil exactly torn into pieces like the body of Aba Abdullah. She said, I am happy because of that. That's a matter of pride for me. And she said, I have two sons. I am happy to give them for Aba Abdullah. Where is this love found anywhere in the world? This is the message that we have to carry with us to connect with Imam. We have to spread the message of Hussein, the message of justice, the message of universal values, of human rights and freedom, so that we can call ourselves indeed the followers and those who seek to be with the master of our time, صاحب العصر والزمان, روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the sincere and the devout followers of the Imam alayhi salam, and to grant us the tawfiq to see him, and if not, to connect with him through ourselves, through our hearts, through our endeavors in the community and in society, and for us to be role models for Imam alayhi salam, so that when he reappears, we can say we did our best. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على سيد المرسلين محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.